Did you spend 90 minutes watching the third and final debate? Your president and the man who wants to be president, Mitt Romney. Wow. We're down to 2 weeks until the final count, election day. We might not even know until the wee hours, which is what the brilliant thing is about America Tonight. We'll be live with all of you, and we'll tell you exactly what's happening as the results are coming in. Is this really going to be that close, looking at all the polls? If you think the polls don't mean anything, think again, because there's just too many of them. I've said it before, there is something about predictions that we like as Americans, right? And we also like the underdog. The underdog certainly would have been Mitt Romney heading into this election, but boy, things have changed. The Democrats are more on the defense now than ever. I think they're surprised that they're in this position. But here we are, 14 days to maybe a change, not just in the presidency, but perhaps at the Capitol as well, both chambers, the House completely up for grabs, and 33 Senate seats. Some hotly contested races, Connecticut one of them. I know we've got lots of listeners in Connecticut. Is Senator Linda McMahon the future there or not? Will you see a Republican in a traditionally Democratic area? How about what happens in Missouri? Does Claire McCaskill, the Democratic senator, lose her grip on the seat, even though there's been controversy around Congressman Todd Akin, who wants it? And Scott Brown, does he hang on to his seat for the Republicans in Massachusetts, or does Elizabeth Warren take that seat for the Democrats away from him? We may see a switch in the majority in the Senate, or maybe not. It's very, very, very close. Close isn't what I would call this last debate. I think there were some interesting moments in it. There were some zingers, certainly, to be sure. The president was in the attack mode most of the way. He was, or I shouldn't say attack mode, he was aggressive, better term. He was very aggressive. And threw out a couple of steak knives, let's say, that didn't necessarily land. But were that close. So Romney, at times, got on the offensive in a couple of different areas, including in Iran, talking about whether we're halting nuclear weapons development or not. He said the U.S. should have done more. We're 4 years closer to a nuclear Iran. They did find a couple of things where they agreed, which is odd for a debate. So that happened on foreign policy. Romney a couple of times slammed Obama for attacking him and said, attacking me is not an agenda for dealing with a dangerous world. So he was cool and collected and whatnot. The debate didn't have any of that finger-pointing stuff or interruptions that have happened in the past, some of the past debates. But there was definitely a marked change in the president, for one. The president now moves on to speak in 6 states during a 2-day trip that starts Wednesday and includes a night on Air Force One flying from Las Vegas to Tampa. Mitt Romney is going to visit 2 or 3 states a day. Already 4 million ballots have been cast in early voting in about 24 states. Maybe you voted early. And electoral votes are up for grabs. 270, that's what you need to win. 270 is truly the number. So Florida's got 29. Virginia, 13 important ones. Ohio, 18. People talk about Ohio. Wisconsin could swing in a different direction, 10. Nevada has 6. You start to add up all the numbers, and that's what it's about. It's about coverage and getting the votes. So if you want to throw in your two cents this hour on what you thought about the debate and if it will make any difference at all to you, please do that. 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283. Jeff Holtzman from Talk Radio News was there at Lynn University in Boca Raton, and he's going to join us and give us some of his thoughts on what it was like there, what the atmosphere was like, what he heard from the debate. He's part of a whole giant, massive media crew following these debates. He's been at all three, so this is the third one. It'll be interesting to hear what he has to say. Education jumped into the middle of this foreign policy debate. Barack Obama liked that because he was able to seize an opportunity to go after Romney a little bit on it. So here's a little slice of the debate focusing on education.
Governor Romney, when you were asked by teachers whether or not this would help the economy grow, you said this isn't going to help the economy grow. When you were asked about reduced class sizes, you said class sizes don't make a difference. But I tell you, if you talk to teachers, they will tell you it does make a difference. And if we've got math teachers who are able to provide the kind of support that they need for our kids, that's what's going to determine whether or not the new businesses are created here, companies are going to locate here, depending on whether we've got the most highly skilled workforce, and the kinds of budget proposals that you've put forward. When we don't ask either you or me to pay a dime more in terms of reducing the deficit, but instead we slash support for education, that's undermining our long-term competitiveness. That is not good for America's position in the world. And the world notices.
Let me get back to foreign policy.
Well,
Can I just get back?
Well, I need to speak a moment. Bob, just about education, because I'm so proud of the state that I had the chance to be governor of. We have every 2 years tests that look at how well our kids are doing. Fourth graders and eighth graders are tested in English and math. While I was governor, I was proud that our fourth graders came out number one of all 50 states in English and then also in math. And our eighth graders, number one in English and also in math. First time one state had been number one in all four measures. How do we do that? Well, Republicans and Democrats came together on a bipartisan basis to put in place education principles that focused on having great teachers in the classroom.
10 years
and
earlier.
And that was what allowed us to become the number one state in the nation.
But that was 10 years before you took office.
And
then you cut education spending when you came into office.
And we kept our schools number one in the nation. They're still number one today.
All right.
And the principles that we put in place, we also gave kids not just a graduation exam that determined whether they were up to the skills needed to be able to compete, but also if they graduated the top quarter of their class, they got a four-year tuition-free ride at any Massachusetts public institution of higher learning.
That happened before you came into office.
Oh, that was actually mine, actually. Mr. President, you got that fact for honor.
All right, so you can see that Bob Schieffer was trying to get it back to foreign policy. That happened repeatedly throughout the debate, as we knew it would. It was smart of Romney to try to bring in the economy. That became part of the discussion. The education thing was the Obama twist there that you heard. So the third and last face-to-face debate, supposed to be focused on foreign affairs, but definitely strayed, and the disagreements over the economy came up again and again and again. This is the top issue far and away. You don't need an opinion poll to tell you that. We all know it. People are talking about it. No matter where you go, where are we headed when it comes to our economy, when it comes to our deficits, when it comes to taxes? So that was weaved into this one as well. Wonder what the numbers ultimately will be. 67 million for the first debate, 64 for the second. How many watch this time around? We're talking to Jeff Holtzman next here on ATN. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Gold is like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2237 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
You store guns, ammo, and food and water. But do you store peace of mind when it comes to your firearms? Now you can with Duracoat. The last thing anyone needs is a firearm that won't work when you need it most. Improve the factory finish and Duracoat your firearms once for a lifetime of protection against rust and corrosion. And Duracoat also protects against water, salt water, mud, grime, or whatever nature throws at you. The Duracoat Shake and Spray Finishing Kit has everything you need to finish a complete firearm for just $34.95. No need for an airbrush or other spray equipment. Just degrease, then spray on Duracoat and let dry for a lifetime of protection. Duracoat is the simplest and most user-friendly firearm finish you can buy. Use Duracoat on knives, camping equipment, or anything metal, plastic, or wood you want to protect from the elements. Call 800-830-6677 or visit Duracoat.net. Spelled Duracoat.net. Duracoat, the finest firearm finish on the planet.
All she wrote. Third presidential debate, Lynn University at Boca Raton, Florida. Jeff Holtzman joins us once again. He was there for this one. Each one has a different flavor. This certainly did. Foreign policy was the overall theme. However, if you listen to Mitt Romney, he kept bringing it back to the economy. He was trying to relate it in different ways, I think, to my theme of what's in your wallet. And there were some interesting moments during this debate, to be sure, some real zingers as well. Hey, Jeff, overall, what did you think? Because you have been at all three debates, what did you think of this one compared to the first two?
Well, I mean, Kate, I think right off, first glance, I have to score this one as a draw. It's really, really early in the game, and I think that it's going to take some time for the debate to actually settle in, and obviously to see what the surrogates have to say and to see how the polls come out before we, sort of get a, more of a solid opinion on in terms of who won and who lost. But, I think that both candidates had some good moments. President Obama, like last week's debate in New York, he was aggressive tonight. He had some good one-liners that he flung toward Mitt Romney's way. He basically accused him of flip-flopping on all his foreign policy. And that was sort of a theme that the Obama campaign said that it was going to touch upon after the Denver debate. They said that they were going to refocus their strategy in these debates, that the president was going to circle all of his talking points around the underlying theme that Mitt Romney basically can't keep a position. And that's what he did tonight. He accused Mitt Romney of flip-flopping on Iraq. He accused him of, flip-flopping on Syria, Iran, Afghanistan, you name it. Basically, all the critical Middle East issues that the U.S. is dealing with right now, the president said Mitt Romney has flip-flopped on. Mitt Romney, in response, told the president that attacking me is not an agenda. That was probably one of his most memorable lines tonight. A lot of folks looked at that and said, well, you know, that's sort of a desperation key from a candidate who doesn't think that things are going too well. But then others look at President Obama's posture, his aggressiveness, his body language, and his desire to seemingly go for the one-line slam, right from the get-go as evidence, perhaps, that Obama considers himself to be, facing a deficit in this race. So there are a lot of interesting things happened tonight, but I think it's too early to tell, just how much of a bearing this will have on the election.
Yeah, I think the lines that you brought up, you're right. Romney slamming Obama, attacking me is not an agenda. Romney saying the U.S. can't kill its way out of extremist threats. Then Obama coming back and saying, hey, you're all over the place on foreign policy. There was a great line about it that Obama had. It made me think back to my childhood days playing Battleship with my brother when he said, it's not a game of Battleship. Talking about the size of the Navy.
Yeah, that was really interesting. They were talking about cutting the defense budget, and of course, Mitt Romney was talking about the fact that you've got all these new ships that the Navy needs and what have you, and the president delivered that line where he said this isn't the 1910s, the 1920s. We don't have horses and bayonets out there, and so that's in essence he's saying the defense budget is it's going to grow somewhat under his command. So that's obviously a big line that a lot of folks pointed out, and that has been tweeted a million times.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I mentioned this too when we first went to you, is the fact that when Mitt Romney could do it, he quickly linked things to the economy, whatever he could, pushing it loosely to foreign policy, throwing out Medicaid, a bunch of other stuff, and Bob Schieffer just didn't really do much. The subject was foreign policy, but it kept sliding back into domestic issues, which frankly, if I were an advisor to Romney, that was a smart play, because that's the idea, knowing that people are upset about the economy, trying to push that as far as he could push it, and he seemed to really get it in there, didn't you think?
Right. No, absolutely. I think it was a really smart pivot for Mitt Romney to touch on the economy as much as he could, to tie everything into the economy. He started out basically tying, America's standing in the world to the need for a strong military, which, of course, is in need of funding. At a time when the military, the Pentagon specifically, could be facing a $1 trillion budget cut over the next 10 years, it's topical for Mitt Romney to go ahead and accuse President Obama of trying to gut the military by allowing the defense sequester to happen. At the same time, he brought it back to education. He brought it back to, government reform, the debt, obviously, which has sort of been a big theme for the Republicans this campaign cycle, making an issue out of that. I think there was one point sort of in the middle of the debate where we probably spent 10 or 15 minutes solely on domestic issues. And, a lot of journalists here in the Filing Center here at Lynn University were looking at each other going, I thought this was a foreign policy debate. Are we on the wrong channel? Is the foreign policy debate on the other channel? But I think to the viewers at home, a lot of these folks who casually pay attention to this stuff aren't aware that it was supposed to be on foreign policy. They hear what they hear. And so for Mitt Romney, his campaign understands that. They know that each time he goes on national television, it's an opportunity for him to make that case. And his strong point that he's showing is perceived ability to fix the economy. So he's got to make it about that. And I think President Obama did a decent job responding to that. That's why I think this is a draw, because I thought President Obama had good lines on foreign policy. He had the right strategy tonight. But Mitt Romney was able to get in enough time on the camera talking about, the economy, which has been certainly a drag for President Obama the last 4 years.
Yeah, I agree. What was the mood like there? I mean, piling into it, you're in the media center, you're seeing, you're listening to what people are saying, and I call it a draw as well. Plus, it's things are tied up. This has to be one of the closest elections, at least theoretically, and looking at the polls anyway, that I can remember maybe in my lifetime. So, is that kind of the buzz in the media center, and was that what you were hearing in Florida?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, there's a lot of buzz down here. It's actually, this is interesting because at the beginning of the debate season, you know, the beginning of the month, we didn't know if this would be a relevant debate. I mean, a lot of folks speculated that the race could be sort of put away by this point. But thanks to Romney's strong performance in the first debate, and, you know, their similar performances in round two, where Obama might have had a slight edge, that put a lot of stake into this debate. A lot of people were paying close attention to this, even though it was foreign policy, which is not, you know, the number one issue for voters this year. We all know that. But nonetheless, it was a closely watched debate because, you know, when you talk about foreign policy, you're talking about how these candidates would act and how they have acted as commander-in-chief, which is important. You know, you're basically the leader of the military. You're making a lot of executive decisions. And in this case, you know, you've had a lot of stuff going on around the globe and other parts of the world that have been in the news lately. Of course, what's happening in Libya, the ongoing civil war in Syria. And, you know, I think that while the war in Afghanistan is extremely unpopular at this point, people are still sort of tuned in to see what's going to happen with it. Now, I will say this, Kate, a lot of what we saw tonight was interesting because, you know, the candidates really, when you get down to it, don't differ too much on the hot-button foreign policy issues out there. You know, when you talk about Afghanistan, they both want to see troops taken out of Afghanistan by the end of 2014. They both said it.
Yes, right. Mm-hmm. But I think we're starting to lose you there, Jeff, but getting one of in a dead cell zone, I'm sure, because of all this talking that we're doing, and there you are at the debate. Jeff Holtzman, thanks so much for joining us on America Tonight. And again, this is the third time Jeff has been able to join us. We're talking about some of those real zingers that went down during the debate, including, you know, the battleship remark. And the one thing that Jeff and I both pulled out where Mitt Romney told Obama, attacking me is not an agenda. Attacking me is not talking about how we're going to deal with the challenges that exist in the Middle East unless we take advantage of the opportunity there and stem the tide of this violence. He kept going back to that a couple of different times about attacking him. And smartly, from Romney's point of view, or from his handler certainly, is to pull it back down to the economy. You know that I've been talking about the fact that this was going to be about foreign policy, and I knew it would veer off into another direction, and that's exactly what happened. Also saying, as we have all along here on America Tonight, that it looked like heading in, you know, a year ago that this wasn't going to be anywhere near a close election, and look what it's turned out to be. I think the Democrats are pretty surprised by the turn of events, so will they be able to hold off the Romney offensive, if you will, as the battleground states have never, ever been so big. All right, we're going to talk more about the debates, of course, here on America Tonight. You can throw in your 2 cents at 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283.
You know what happens to your digestive health around the holidays? Right. Unusual schedules and foods you don't normally eat can cause upset stomach and indigestion. But you can prepare your digestive tract with Pro-EM-1 Probiotic Cleanse from Terraganics.com. Pro-EM-1 is all natural and made with certified organic ingredients. It contains no genetically modified ingredients or preservatives and has no animal products, wheat, soy, dairy, or gluten. Pro-EM-1 does not require refrigeration, so you can take it with you over the river and through the woods to Grandma's house. Pro-EM-1 supports a healthy, regular digestive system, supports weight loss, and improves absorption of food nutrients. Improve your digestion and keep off those extra pounds with Pro-EM-1 Probiotic Cleanse. Call or click Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com. Toll free, 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics, life's getting better.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, thanks to Dan Pilla, you can get the tax help you need to end your tax nightmare.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla.
I've helped thousands of people reduce or eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. With the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
Earthquakes, hurricanes, floods, all sorts of natural disasters happen. Some of you are ready, some are not. MySurvivalGoods.com gets you ready. Think basics. Do you have a home first aid kit, a car emergency kit, a basic urban survival kit? MySurvivalGoods.com has kits. Then the big stuff. Ready for system interruptions caused by natural or man-made disasters, terrorism, government collapse, social chaos?
Are you ready to bug out?
Could you survive off the grid for a minimum of 3 days like FEMA says?
Well, don't count on FEMA.
Count on high-quality kits from MySurvivalGoods.com. Check out our large selection of emergency kits for cars, homes, schools, and office, and bug-out bags, first aid and flu kits, emergency water and food. Even build your very own custom emergency kit. 100% satisfaction guaranteed. Go to MySurvivalGoods.com now. That's MySurvivalGoods.com. Don't delay. Prepare today.
Here it comes, another cold and flu season. Get ready for it and save now during the pre-winter sale at HerbalHealer.com. Don't be without powerful natural flu fighters like elderberry power capsules. They support the immune system and they have antiviral properties. Another powerful antiviral is olive leaf capsules, highly recommended by Herbal Healer Academy. Also on sale is Physician Strength Oregacillin, a savior for the lungs. It fights bacteria, virus, and fungus. Our famous four herb capsules are a gentle liver cleanser and can be taken daily. Also featured this winter are the homeopathic detoxes, liver, kidney, lung, lymph, whole body, and brain detox on sale. And remember, as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on and hit the pre-winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Attacking me is not talking about how we're going to deal with the challenges that exist in the Middle East and take advantage of the opportunity there and stem the tide of this violence.
Mitt Romney says the president is weak abroad, while the president says that Mitt Romney was all over the map. What do you say, America? 2 weeks and counting, that's it. Could there be a change at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue and at our legislative branch in the Capitol? Maybe some new faces, especially in the Senate. 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283, if you want to ring in and throw in your 2 cents. Mel has been waiting patiently for us in Connecticut. Hey, Mel, how are you?
Hello, how are you? And thanks for taking the call. You see, where I come from, I think there's 3 things that have made this country great. This is my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Is we are a God-fearing society. Number 2, the free enterprise system. And the other is the American free labor movement. Now, I think one of the things that is not really talked on, but what President Obama has continually said, do you want to go back to the way we were, or do you want to keep moving ahead? And that is simply that. I think it more resonates with the middle-aged and older people in that, gee, I had a job, but my plant was outsourced overseas, and it happened mainly in the Republican administration.
Mm.
And then they think back and say, wait a minute, the last time, two times, times that the Republicans had the White House, you had the savings and loan fiasco.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had a Democrat in between, and the economy picked up. And then the Republicans got in again, and you had the financial...
Banks. Yeah, the banks too big to fail, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think that, although it's not merely talked on in the high places, I think it resonates with people. And
So, Mel, let me ask you this question. So then, based on what you said, if you look at, and you're right about the SNL crisis, and you're right about the banks too big to fail, because that was in the fall of 2008, so you think from all the conversations that you've had and people that you're talking to in your own world that it does resonate with them that, hey, listen, this is what happened before. Let's really look at this. And you think so do you think when I say this is like a horse race and it's neck and neck, do you think Obama then pulls ahead in the end?
I think he will. It's not an easy thing to think of. Because of when the polls are put out, and there are a certain amount of people, although the American public is a very intelligent public, they tend to go sometimes with what figures are given on radio and TV and so on. But I think that other things, I think, again, with the middle the aged and the elder people, reeling that at the same time that the meltdown was coming, that prior to the Democrats taking over in the seventh year of the Bush administration, the Republican Party was trying to put Social Security on the stock market. And at mm-hmm. the same time, they knew the meltdown was happening.
Mm.
And somebody will say, well, why did they know and not that? Well, anyone who's familiar with the way Congress works anyway, chairman of committees control who appears before it.
Right.
And therefore, the Republicans control the House, the Senate, and, of course, especially the White House. So it wasn't actually, and I think the Democrats did a bad thing, in the essence, in not pointing out that the meltdown did not get discovered until they got into the seventh year of the Bush administration. Until mm-hmm. then, that was all quiet. It couldn't have happened in 6 months after they got in, that kind of an atrocity. And the proof of that to me, and I think to the public in a lot of areas, is that the first stimulus actually came from President Bush.
Mm-hmm.
So they were trying to send money into the financial community. They knew that the meltdown had already started.
Here's what I would say. I would agree with some of what you said. In 2008, to me, Hank Paulson is the idiot that ran this whole thing, where he cut the deal with the banks, including those that didn't need to be bailed out, but insisted that they all took the money, and there was no strings attached, which was another huge blunder and sent us spiraling into what happened to us in 2008. But, Mel, you got to admit, and I say this all the time, because, you know, America Tonight, I always say this, and I truly mean this. I don't care if you're right of right, left of left, somewhere in between, frustrated, whatever, to call the show. But you have to admit that when you take over the reins, you can't do the blame game. Like, if I, Kate Delaney, run for president, and you, Mel, vote for me, and I know that this has happened, and I know I'm inheriting a mess, a hornet's nest, I'm taking full responsibility for that. So that's the problem. If you take that role, you have got to own it. You know what I mean?
I don't disagree with that, but he is not trying to disavow that.
Yeah.
But the federal figures I have, had he not continued stimulus,
right,
we initially would have lost 3 million more jobs in the private sector, besides the 5 million that have been created since.
We
lost 3 million. Those are figures. They're
No. I agree with the auto bailout, especially, was where it's dicey and where jobs would have been lost.
And I want to say just one other thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting that in the discussion tonight,
mm-hmm.
the only one that mentioned of our outstanding armed forces in the field and the veterans was the president. If you notice, Mr. Romney mentioned nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, he wasn't in the military. President Obama wasn't either, and President Obama has two daughters. And neither has Governor Romney's sons ever served either.
Right.
The vice president, Mr. Biden, his son has served over there in the area.
Yeah, Bo. Mm-hmm.
And I am a veteran of the Korean War.
Mm.
I have a Navy discharge, honorable, and an Army. And I also have 30 years federal service. And so I'm very bound that way. And I want to say this, that the Veterans Administration has always been decent, very good. But since President Obama come in, that budget has always been passed. And also that some of the vets who over in Afghanistan and Iraq suffered the traumatic brain stuff.
Yeah.
Under the Bush administration, and check what I say, not just because I'm saying it, they were being discharged as not fit anymore for service with no remuneration. President Obama signed a bill which gives the spouse, and it could be, you know, it could be the man or it could be the woman, because we have sons, daughters, and mothers that are in combat now.
Right, right.
And they now get a remuneration.
Mm-hmm.
But they were being discharged as unfit for service with no remuneration. It's a hereditary kind of thing. That was under the Bush administration. And they're the ones that sent them into not once, but twice and three times.
Yeah, yeah.
I appreciate you very much for listening to me.
Mel, thanks for the call. Thanks for your service. And you are right, to your point, you are right about the remuneration, as I have family members who have all served in the military, and I'm very aware of that factor. And certainly on this show, we talk about the military so much, how we cannot, the people who have served in the past, people serving in the present, what we've seen that's happened, the battle scars and the horrible situation that has occurred in the last 10 years with so many that have come back, whether or not it's finding jobs and being retrained or whether it's dealing with the atrocities and mentally having a hard time wrapping their head around the horrible things that they've seen. You're not going to get any argument from me on that one. And it is interesting. I didn't really think about that until you just said that, Mel. Because this was a debate, and the debate was on foreign policy, and, you know, different things were thrown up and thrown out and twisted around, as in any debate. But you're right, the Republicans, there were a couple of times where the Republicans missed the boat on talking about the military, and one of them was at the convention, and the other one, if you wanted to look at the debate, you could point to the debate if you wanted to. I don't think that was intentional, because Mitt Romney has certainly spent time with military folks and visited them and whatnot, and has gone to hospitals and all that kind of stuff. But it just wasn't brought up. I think the bigger blunder was at the convention. It was interesting that didn't happen. But so much of the focus, I guess, was on the economy that somehow that got left off of the agenda, but it was definitely felt by veterans that they weren't acknowledged when so much of what we talk about has to do with the fallout of these current wars, especially. All right, you might have a different point of view, or the same point of view as Mel, by the way. I am always quick to point that out, that all opinions are welcome here on America Tonight. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about what's happening in this country and where we're headed. 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283. Meet you on the flip side.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include microplant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock. Save you money and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Healthy soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 organic soil conditioner, fertilizer amendment, and compost accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganics.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient value of fruits and vegetables, and improves shelf life. And when rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at Terraganics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
Are you storing food? Prepared families are storing food for months and years, but only have enough fuel stored for days or weeks. Stretch your fuel storage by harnessing the power of the sun with a sun oven. Food can be baked, boiled, or steamed at temperatures of 360 to 400 degrees with the power of the sun. You can use the sun for 50 to 80% of your cooking, allowing you to preserve your fuel storage for rainy days. Sun-baked foods stay moister and have less shrinkage and do not burn. Sun-baked roasts are tastier and more succulent, and sun-baked bread has unparalleled taste and texture. Water can be heated in a sun oven for purification or personal hygiene. For the past 26 years, sun ovens have been proudly made in the U.S. They're durable, have a long life, and come with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Don't be fooled by cheap imitations. For a discount coupon, visit sunoven.com/radio. That's sunoven.com/radio.
I like to see you work right across the floor. I like to do the things till you call upon the Lord.
We're rounding the final turn here on this hour of America Tonight anyway. I want to mix in a few other odds and ends. Yes, we've been talking about politics and the debate and where we're headed and all that stuff. And, of course, heavy on all of our minds here with 2 weeks to go. But some other things of interest, I think, happened, including the fact that you look at someone like Lance Armstrong. Wow, talk about a fall from grace. The organization that he started, Live Strong, has made unbelievable amounts of money for cancer research. And today the final shoe dropped on Lance Armstrong. In fact, the 7 tour titles that he had and how he was just such an amazing athlete, talking about the fact that he won 7 tours in a row. That, for some people, is justice now that they're gone, and for others, it's a miscarriage of justice. Take a listen to Pat McQuaid.
UCI will ban Lance Armstrong from cycling, and UCI will strip him of his 7 Tour de France titles. We have come too far in the fight against doping to return to our past. Cycling has a future, and something like this must never happen again.
See, the argument is, from people I know in the cycling field, is that everybody was doping almost across the board. So if everybody's doing that, then what was he doing that was so different? He's lost sponsors, Nike, Trek Bicycles, Anheuser-Busch. They all dumped him, as have a bunch of other companies. Livestrong, he's not really the face of it anymore, but he is on the board because, you know, this is a guy who was given not much of a chance to live. He survived testicular cancer, which spread to his lungs and his brain, and then he went on to have the career that he had in cycling. But what a crazy, crazy, crazy outcome in this story. The U.S. ADA had a 200-page report that they, after all this investigation, that they published, and you knew that this was it. They, you know, Armstrong argues that that he's passed all the tests, 500 doping tests, and that it was just a witch hunt. Now, what's interesting is stripping him of the victories means that they're not going to be reassigned in the record books to anybody. So it's just a blank hole. So for 7 years, it's a blank hole because if you go to 2010, Alberto Contador was stripped of his title for a doping violation. And if you go to 2006, Oscar Pereiro was awarded the victory after Floyd Landis, the other American, was disqualified. But what they're saying now is they shouldn't be given to other riders who finished on the podium because they're saying there was so much doping going on. So it's just blank. It's like a blank hole. 26 people, 15 riders, including 15 riders, testified that Armstrong and his team used and trafficked banned substances and did this blood transfusion stuff. There were people like George Hencappy and Tyler Hamilton and Floyd Landis and others that said that, and I think that just sealed the fate for Lance Armstrong. So he's done in the record books. He does not have those Tour de France wins. He insists that he never cheated, that he did not cheat. And he was out at an event over the weekend, and when he was asked, he said, "I've been better, but I've also been worse." And he's still doing what he does in Austin, Texas. He's running, he's hanging out with his kids and whatever else, but certainly a stain when you think of the effect of Lance Armstrong, how he had, I mean, just an American to win race after race after race the way that he did, and then ultimately to have these all stripped away from him. Man, it's just a huge, huge blow. Matt, you weren't surprised by the Lance Armstrong stuff, were you? I think he's off helping to move the studios, so we don't know what he thinks. I have to say that I'm not surprised because we had people on the show. We had a doping expert, somebody who did this for the Olympics and was a former mayor in San Diego, who certainly pointed to Armstrong, and we talked about it. We talked about the possibilities, and this was back in July, so you knew that it was coming down the pike. It wasn't going to be good. But, boy, he sure fended off those attacks for such a long time that finally that was it. Once there was all that testimony, then the decision was, is he going to keep fighting it? And the answer was no, he wasn't going to do that. So he stepped away from the fight. And then they stepped in and said, "Okay, we're gonna see you someplace else because it's not gonna be in the record books when it comes to racing." The bottom line is they're just gonna have to look at slower times and change that race if they want to prevent people from cheating. If everybody was doing that, the only way to have an edge, the only way to be competitive was to do what everybody else was doing, but then it begs the question, is that the right thing? And maybe we'll never know. He's saying he absolutely did not dope, but everybody else is saying they did it. So that chapter is closed, and he lost a lot of money because his endorsements were like $30 million, I want to say. Whew. $30 million. All right, it wouldn't be America tonight if we didn't talk about some impending storm. We just had Mel call us from Connecticut. Well, check this out. Tropical Storm Sandy could be a problem for the people on the East Coast. High winds and rain. The National Hurricane Center in Miami is saying Sandy's about 300-some miles south of Kingston, Jamaica. It's got winds of 40 miles an hour, and it's headed toward Jamaica and could be near or over that island on Wednesday. How fast it will come, they're talking about maybe Friday, and there's a potential for some bad stuff from Florida to the Carolinas, maybe New England next week, the Mid-Atlantic states. They're saying the worst thing that probably you'll see is heavy rains and forceful winds, you know, maybe 50 miles an hour or so. How high will the winds be? How much rain? How much flooding? I mean, the flooding is the key thing. How much of a flood will they see on the East Coast as a result of that? But, you know, they get enough of that rain, that's always the possibility you can end up in a canoe. Growing up in the East Coast, I know what it's like to, all too well, to go through those situations and have the worst part of it is really the water that gets dumped, I guess, more than anything. There's always the conversation of what it could turn into and all of that, but ultimately it ends up being a mess because of the situation with the with the water and how it tends to pool, especially if you get enough of it or some of those low-lying areas, just nasty. This is a huge, huge story. How many of you raise your hand? Be honest. You're trying to stay awake. Do you drink the Monster energy drink? You know, the green drink. You see it all the time in 7-Elevens and convenience stores and in grocery stores. The FDA is saying 5 deaths, heart attack deaths have been linked to this energy drink. Now, at this point, highly caffeinated, and that's what the deal is. 24-ounce cans, that's what it comes in, and it's got 7 times the amount of caffeine in a 12-ounce Coke. Whew. That's a lot, 7 times the amount. So they're looking into this. They're taking it seriously. They're looking into it. There are parents of a daughter who died after drinking 2 24-ounce Monster energy drinks in 24 hours. So there's a wrongful death suit that was filed in Riverside, California, and that's why they're looking into this. The autopsy showed that Annis Furnier died of cardiac arrhythmia due to the caffeine toxicity that impeded her heart's ability to pump blood. Isn't that scary to think of caffeine and the role of caffeine, where it's keeping us alive or thriving, keeping us awake, but is it killing us? And it's the intense amount of it, I guess. They haven't said that for sure, but they know that they're worried about the volume, and that's something that they're investigating. It'll be interesting to see how this court case turns out, because there are so many others that are claiming that they have also been bitten by that same thing, drinking the energy drink and then having someone die of a heart attack as a result of that. Wow.
Throw away leftovers. Instead, throw all your leftovers, vegetable peels, eggshells, coffee grounds, pizza crust, and more into the Bokashi. If you love to garden and compost but don't like the hassle of turning a compost bin or the smell, then check out the EM Bokashi Food Waste Recycling System from Terraganics. Finally, a way to recycle all your food and plant waste safely and effectively and stop using fertilizers. The EM Bokashi Food Waste Recycling System. Rather than decomposition, the Bokashi system uses fermentation to break down waste, so it takes less time to create nutrient dense humus for crops or gardens, with no turning and no obnoxious odors. To learn more and order your Bokashi online, visit Terraganics.com and click on the orange button. That's Terraganics.com, spelled Terraganix.com, or call 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Recycle all your food wastes in about 6 weeks with the Bokashi Food Waste Recycling System from Terraganics.com. Terraganics, life's getting better.